be looking at the idea, do you want to give up? We are heading, we're already in difficult times, but the Bible makes it very clear, in the end of the end times, things are going to get even worse. And of course, Christians are going to get the brunt of this stuff that's going to happen. And so you have to prepare your heart, because the Bible teaches that many people are going to give up. We don't want to be among those people. In 2 Timothy chapter, James chapter 5, verse 7. We'll start there. It says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, unto the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rain. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count those blessed who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth, nor by anything else. All you needed to say is simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. And so we want to look tonight at this idea of a falling away. Again, the Bible makes it very clear that at the end of the end times, things are going to get even worse than they already are. And they're bad enough, as far as I'm concerned, right now. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And as we approach the time of our Lord's coming back to this earth, we're going to see it getting worse and worse and worse. I'm really grateful that I'm not going to be there at the second coming. I'm going to be coming back with the Lord, but I'm not going to be in that 7-year period, because that's going to be even worse than what's going to happen prior to the rapture of the church. It's essentially true that our Lord is going to return again. God's people are going to have special pressures and special temptations as the day approaches. And so we have to prepare our hearts. There's going to be pressures from the world to conform. People are seeing it, like Dave mentioned about the Disney employees. If you don't go along, they want to get rid of you. That's the way it's going to be across the country, not just Disney. I just read in the same paper that I read to you, the Oreo company, Nabisco, is putting a lot of pressure on their people in the same type fashion. And a lot of other big companies are too. So there's going to be special pressures from the world to make you conform to the way they think. And we just read that they're going to be not lovers of God. They're going to be lovers of their self. They're going to be lovers of pleasure. They're going to be lovers of sin. And they want us to follow along. The temptation for the people of God, the pressure of those days, is going to be even more than it is today. In fact, in Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So you take a church like ours, that I think we're averaging 35 or 40 now. If the love of most grows cold, how many are going to be here on a Sunday morning if we get closer and closer to that time? If most are going to fall away, we're going to be down in the 20s. We're going to be down Maybe there'll be four or five on Sunday morning instead of just Sunday night now. Don't know, but I will tell you this. The pressure is going to be on to love pleasure. The pressure is going to be on to do your own thing and depart from God's word, and especially to depart from God's ways. People will not put up with sound doctrine at that time. So we're encouraged to be patient and to stay faithful and to not give up in God's word. There's a truth in the word of God that will give you the strength to keep going. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the greatest Bible preachers of all time, said this, "The coming of the Lord is the perpetual light shining on the path which makes the present bearable." I want you to think about that just for a minute because I want to read it again. I want you to think about how important the coming of our Lord is for your faith. The coming of the Lord is the perpetual light shining on the path which makes the present bearable. In the New Testament times, there was a code word that the Christians would say to each other when they were facing intense persecution, because the first century church, you could face death just as easily as anything else for your faith. They said the word Maranatha. Maranatha, one word, it means the Lord is coming. Folks, it'll keep you going. When everything else seems to let you down, the knowledge that my Lord is coming at any minute can keep you going. It's same today as it was those days. There are difficult days. Some countries have it far worse than our country. Some countries, even today, after all these years of the gospel being out there, some countries, they are still putting Christians to death for their faith. I'm glad it's not here yet, but it could be here in a few years. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, our Lord Jesus said these words, "There will be signs on the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." When he said there's going to be signs in the sun, signs in the moon, in the stars, upon the earth, distress of nation, perplexity in the sea, and the waves roaring. Is that because of climate change? Not a bit. We don't have to worry about climate change. This is God himself bringing judgment on this earth. We need to be those that are trusting our Lord, that are waiting for his return. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." The thing that's going to help you stay faithful to the Lord is your belief that at any minute, Jesus Christ can change everything. And he can. When he comes, it's going to change for the Christian for the better. It's going to change for the non-Christian drastically worse. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way," and it's talking about fire. It's not going to be climate change. It's going to be the Lord himself destroying this earth with fire. "What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt by heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." I hope you're looking forward to that day. I'm not looking forward to the day of destruction. I'm looking forward to the day of recreation, when everything is going to be the way God meant it to be in the beginning. We're encouraged to keep looking up, trusting in our Lord. In the book of James, I want you to notice two occasions of the mention of the coming of the Lord. We're going to be hitting these two verses, verse 7 and 8, quite a bit tonight. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. And then verse 8. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. So I've titled this next section, Are You Excited Yet? So many Christians are kind of blasé about the fact that the Lord's coming. But this is the great hope of the Bible. Our Lord Jesus is going to come and he's going to rescue us. Our Lord said this truth again and again that it should excite us. Why should it excite us? Number one, because the coming of the Lord draws near, and it's very near to coming. In the New Testament, there are three primary words that are used to describe the return of our Lord Jesus. The first one is revelation. And what it means is an unveiling, a revealing of the Lord when he comes. The second word that's used is his appearing. And it means the visible manifestation again of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And the third word that's used is the word that's used in our text for tonight in James 7. It's the coming of the Lord. And that particular word in the Greek language is parousia, and it means to be alongside. There's going to come a day soon when the Lord is going to be alongside each of us, and we're going to be with him forever. When the New Testament uses the word, it's the same word used if a king were to come into a city. Let's just suppose the king was going to come to the village of Burt. We knew that, well, President of the United States, we don't have a king, but the president is going to come to Burt. What would the people of Burt do if they loved the president? I know right now it's not quite like it should be, but if they loved the president and they were really looking forward to his coming, do you suppose they'd spruce the town up a little bit, paint their stores and fix everything up and make it look really nice? They would if they loved the president. When the president comes to our city, we polish up. I can still remember as a young man working in the shop, this was years ago at Plant 2 Saginaw Steering Gear, the president of GM was coming to that shop to visit. You've never seen Plant 2 as clean as it was. Plant 2 was a smoky, stinky plant, slime everywhere. But when that president came in, man, that place was shining, I'll tell you, because he was an important person. When our troops came back home from Iraq and Afghanistan at the end of that war, and a wife would or a child would go out to the ships as they were coming in, what would you think if when their husband or their dad got off the ship, they just kind of yawned and didn't pay any attention? There's something really wrong, isn't there? Because it's a lack of love. When you have somebody that goes away for a year or two and you haven't seen them, and they come home, if you really love them, you want to wrap your arms around them. You want to be close to them. That's the way our thought about our Lord coming. It shouldn't bring a yawn. Yeah, I've heard that 20 times now. We should still be excited. Our Lord is coming, and he's coming for us. I love the songs about the return of Christ. So many of them just bring me great hope. One of those, The King is Coming, and in the song it says, he's coming for who? He's coming for me, and he is. He's going to rescue me off the face of this earth, off the terrible calamity that's coming. Because we got trouble now, don't get me wrong. We got lots of trouble. But it's nothing compared with what we read about when the sun and the stars and the moon and the earth and the quaking, all that's that seven-year period that I'm not going through. This world's going to go through it, but not me. And I praise the Lord for it. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus face to face. I know that you and I are going through a time of trouble and trial. I think of our farmers right now with the fertilizer going up 400% in 2 years, the gas going up 100% more than it was a year ago. It's got to be hard. So when the Lord comes back, that's all going to start changing again. James chapter 5, verse 8 again. We're going to be hitting these verses, like I said, two or three times. He says, you too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. It's getting closer. It says in verse 9, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. We don't want to get caught up with complaining and griping and harping at each other when things start going wrong, because the Lord told us that's going to happen. We want to have a cheerful attitude. In Matthew 24, verse 32, our Lord said, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it's near, right at the door. And so what he's saying is, when you see these things beginning to happen, the Lord's return is getting closer. Somebody will say, Jerry, do you believe the Lord's going to come in your lifetime? And I have to tell them the truth. I don't know. He could. He could come tonight. There's a difference between imminent, which means soon, and immediate. If I were to say to you tonight, the Lord's going to return immediately, when would you think I'm talking about? Right now, tonight, he's going to come. If I said that, there's a chance I could be right. But there's a bigger chance I probably won't be right. So I'm not going to say it. I don't know which night. I don't know which day. But I do know that he's coming. And when we say it's imminent, it means that it could come at any time. It's like you're expecting a friend to come home. You haven't seen him in 10 years, but he sent you word that he's coming home and he's going to be visiting. He can't tell you the date because he doesn't know the exact date. So you're watching and you're watching and he doesn't come and he doesn't come. But suddenly you hear a knock at your door one morning early and it's somebody there with his luggage. Would you say that pretty soon, if he sent his luggage, he's probably coming? Well, all these things we're seeing happening are the luggage. It's arriving on time. And so we have to be ready. In James 5, 9, it says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. The coming of the Lord is very, very near. Because our Lord is coming more and more, what that's meant to tell us is we need to be stable. This world is becoming more and more unstable. We just had a Supreme Court justice two weeks ago. The one that's trying to get on the court now, the black lady that's been appointed by our president. And the senator asked her, Senator, can you tell me how to define the word woman? And the Supreme Court justice said, I cannot define what a woman is. Folks, that's unstable. How's she going to tell her boy or girl if she has children? How's she going to tell them what they're meant to be in God's sight? It's easy to know a boy from a girl, but not in our world. It's easy to know right from wrong, but not in our world anymore. The Bible tells us very clearly what is right and what is wrong. But since we've thrown out the Bible, we have no basis of right and wrong anymore. We're seeing cities now setting up where you can get free drugs, free drug paraphernalia, because they don't want you to use the old stuff. And so the government's supporting it. We have governments today supporting gambling across our country. Why? Because it brings in tax money. It's not about what's good for the people. It's what's good for the state. In James 5, 8, two or three times we're going to see this same idea. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Verse 9 again. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. The knowledge that he's coming soon should make you stable and not make you grouchy and grumpy when you see the trouble coming. Many Christians, instead of rejoicing that the Lord is coming, are caught up in the negative, grumbling and griping and complaining. In James 5:12, He says, above all things, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. People are swearing in the name of the Lord. When the pressure gets on, people will say anything not to take what the pressure might bring. The Lord says, when the pressure comes on, don't you use the Lord's name swearing to something you know in your heart is not true. When people are under great pressure, they will say and do things that they should not. We need to establish our hearts. We're going to stand strong. The world can do what they want. Carnal Christians can do what they want. But we and our faith in Christ have to stand strong. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." My friends, the trials is coming. You're not going to stand up in it alone. It'll be more than you can bear. But you can stand up in it in Christ. You have to determine that it's not going to be you giving the answer. The Apostle Peter said, although everybody denies you, I never will. Folks, if you're walking in the flesh, you will. And Peter did. We need to be walking in the Spirit. In Romans 1:11, he says, I long to see you, so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. One of the roles of a church pastor, church deacons, church teachers, is to help people learn how to be strong in the Lord. Not to rely upon ourselves, but to rely upon Him. When we encourage you to memorize, when we encourage you to read your Bible, there's a reason for that. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So many Christian young people today are departing from the Lord because they didn't study the scriptures. They didn't hide it, and they're not living it. Even older people are doing exactly the same thing. The word I've hid in my heart, the psalmist said, when we study and memorize God's word, it strengthens our heart. And so a question for you tonight. Are you strong in heart? Is your heart getting more and more set on the fact that you long to live for your Lord? Not only that question, but another question. Are you sweet in your spirit? The Bible says, don't grudge against one another. And that word grudge is talking about sighing in your spirit. I'm just so sick of that. I'm just tired of this. Folks, that's what this world wants. They want you to get tired of it to the point where you'll give up. As a Christian, again, in James 5:9, he says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. Or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. That word grudge means to sigh in your inner person. It's the idea of groaning inwardly. Literally, the root for that word comes from the idea of to narrow. It means to narrow things down and to squeeze life. Folks, I see so many Christians that are getting bitter and upset. I don't like some of the things that are going on either in our government right now, but you can't get bitter. You can't get grumpy. You have to come on with the idea that the Lord's going to make it all right in time. We don't want to grudge against people. We don't want to be upset with people. We want to love people. One of the things I constantly pray is, Lord, help me not become a grouchy old man. Stories told about a guy or a lady one time was out fishing on the bank of a river with another gentleman, And a guy came along, and all at once the young man, or the man that she was fishing with, got up and moved down the thing about a half a mile away from her. And a fellow that came up, he said, "What happened to that guy? Is he fishing better down there?" And she says, "Oh, no. I'm glad the old grump moved away." He said, "How long have you known this guy?" He said, "Oh, I've been married to him 40 years. We can get grumpy in our marriages. We can get grumpy in our relationships. We can get grumpy at work. Another one, two ladies are having coffee one morning, and one of them said to the other, "Did you wake up grouchy this morning?" And the wife said, "No, I let him sleep." If we're not careful, we can get to that point where we start arguing and fussing and fighting about everything. We need to watch that. And so what the Bible says, are you sweet in spirit? And then the third question, are letting the coming of the Lord examine you? In other words, this idea that he's coming ought to purify our lives if we really believe it. In James 5:12, it says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you're going to be condemned." To swear means to call God as your witness. We need to be careful about that. The Lord says, stay away from that. Don't start using his name to cover yourself so that trouble won't come to you. Far better to get in trouble standing for the Lord than to avoid trouble by denying your Lord and using his name as a cover-up. The judge is at the door. You don't want to be there. So, coming again, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. It says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." I don't know if you know it or not, but you're going to face your words again. Every idle word you've ever said someday has to have an accounting. It won't be condemnation, but you're going to see those words again. And so we need to be careful the things we say. The Christ coming should encourage our hearts. And so when we look into the Word of God, the encouragement in those verses, look again at James 5:7. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." That's an encouragement for you and I to be patient. We know that it's coming, but it seems like a long time. I remember when our children were young, we planted some strawberries out in the field. And our young children went out there each day to see if the strawberries were ripe yet. Well, strawberries don't get ripe in a day. They don't get ripe in a week. They don't get ripe for a month. It takes about 2 months after you plant those strawberries to see the first strawberry really get ripe. And you have to be patient. So he says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. When you see a farmer out planting his cornfield, he doesn't go out there the next day to dig up the corn seed to see if it's sprouted yet. He leaves it in the ground, because only by leaving it in the ground is it ever going to sprout." And so we got to be patient. In James 5:8, there's also an encouragement to be patient. "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." How many years ago was that written? Almost 2,000 years ago. Does that seem near to you? You know, the Bible says one day in the Lord's sight is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So 2 days isn't too far off, you know. Maybe it's going to be 3 days, 3,000 years. We don't know, but we do know that it's coming. We are to be patient, establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. That word means to be willing to wait. In James 5:11, as you know, we count blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance, and you've seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know, when you read the book of Job, when all this starts out, Job is pretty patient. He's pretty persevering. But when you read through it, you get into the later chapters, you start to see Job not quite so patient. He's really getting quite frustrated. But there are some terms that he uses in there that really kind of brings out the idea that Job was really patient. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. Do you know that that word of God right there is contrary to what's being taught to your children in school today or your grandchildren? They're being taught that we're approaching the end of all of this. In James 5:10, he says, take, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience, the face of suffering, the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. What happened to the prophets? Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah died for his faith. Isaiah died for his faith. You can go down through a whole list of prophets. They stayed faithful till the very end. They suffered great persecution. But we count them happy who persevere. Why? Is Jeremiah happy today for how he lived his life? I'm going to tell you, he had a hard life. His own family, just like our Lord's own family, turned on him. But Jeremiah is very thankful for the way he lived today. Isaiah is very thankful for the way he lived today. Hosea, he's a strange one. Hosea was told by the Lord to marry a prostitute. I can't even imagine that, but that's what he was commanded to do. Hosea stayed faithful. Daniel, a man who was faithful to the Lord as a young man, was probably castrated because he was made a eunuch. He lived faithfully to the Lord even after that, and his reward was he's thrown into the lion's den. His three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they stayed faithful to the Lord, they're thrown into a burning fiery furnace. But they stayed faithful, and we count them blessed for it. Think about Noah. Noah preached for 120 years. That there was going to be a terrible disaster on this earth and there was going to be a flood. There had never been a flood. As far as we know, it never rained on the earth prior to the time of Noah. 120 years ridiculed by everybody that came by. After 120 years of faithful preaching, Noah, his three boys, and their four wives got on the boat. That was it. No other people ever believed it. But we count Noah blessed. Because of Noah, we're here today. I want to encourage you in the same way to stay faithful. It'll make a difference. In James 5:11, behold, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job, his three friends, said that, Job, the reason you're sick is because you're a sinner. Job's own wife said to him, curse God and die. Job himself complained quite a bit as you get into the later chapters, but I want to bring your thoughts back to the fact that Job said this as well. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And he was talking about his 10 children that had died. Folks, that would be an awful hard thing to go through. But Job praised the Lord for giving his children, and he was willing to release them to the Lord. He didn't curse God. Job also said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because it didn't look like Job was going to get better. It looked like Job was going to die. And Job said, no matter what, I'm going to keep trusting the Lord. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives and he'll stand on the earth on the latter days. Job didn't understand all he was going through. And I got to tell you, sometimes we're not going to understand all we're going through. But Job lived by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by what we see, not by what we hear. James 5:11, again, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. What happened the last couple chapters in the book of Job? The Bible says that God blessed Job more at the end of his life than he did earlier. Now, none of us want to go through the kind of suffering Job went through. But the Bible says we need to be patient so that after we've done the will of God, he'll do what he's promised to do. You and I have to be patient. We can't judge what's going on just by what they hear. I think about the Second World War, and I think one of my favorite stories of the Second World War is told about General Wainwright. General Wainwright was a general in our army. He served in the Pacific Ocean area, and he was taken captive by the Japanese. They tortured him. They did all kinds of things to get him to say things that he's not supposed to say. Then the war ended. But the Japanese didn't tell the prisoners of war that the war had ended. But some of our Secret Service people got into that prison camp before the whole army could come and liberate it, and they told General Wainwright that they were coming and that the war was done. The next day after they had left, the Japanese came in to get after General Wainwright again. And General Wainwright sat up on his bed and began to give them orders. And the Japanese guards said that they ran out of the building and they said, somebody told him, he knows. It made all the difference. Folks, you have been told. Our Lord is coming. The war is over. We are on the winning side. What we have to do is stay faithful. We have to be patient. We have to wait upon the Lord. Father, there's going to be a great crisis on this earth. We've got trouble now, but we haven't seen trouble like there's going to be. Father, when that trouble comes, and we're beginning to see the first portion of it, I think, but when the trouble comes, Father, give us from your Spirit the ability to stay faithful, to be patient, to be eager for your coming, because that's the great hope that will help us through the hard times of this life. Father, we're going to give you the praise for all you're doing in us and all you're doing through us as we look forward to your soon return. And we'll give you the praise for it tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen.